Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST programming brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness, as well as our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. And we're putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. We will have these next week. We're going to be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead. I am arriving with some Carroll County guests next week, so I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be on the 5th. That is Thursday. I erroneously said Wednesday. I will be there Thursday the 5th. And then on the 13th, which is Friday the 13th, the Orioles will be hosting the very scary California Angels of Anaheim. Makes me think of all the movies made back in the 1980s. Maybe they can wear some throwbacks. Speaking of throwbacks, I had Todd Radom on the program this week discussing the Orange Pumpkins, discussing the Red Sox Fenway wall, whatever that was the other day, that vomit that they're wearing. Luke Jones is here. He is our fashionista, the purveyor of all fashion tweets here. The fashion of the St. Louis Cardinals, always in fashion, by the way. Musial and Brock Ward, it's good enough for me. Gibby, the whole deal. But the National League in town, and I like talking about the three-game winning streak better than I like talking about sitting over a dozen delicious crabs at Costas and having the last three of them wrecked with my son and his wife watching. A meltdown. My boys Johnny Raff and Mark Miller, they were there. We had some crabs, some crab cakes. We were eating Greek salad, doing it all. They left, and the Orioles were winning. The Orioles did not win on Tuesday night.
Well, first of all, nothing's going to wreck crabs at Costas, so I'll disagree with you on that part of it. But yeah, as you're watching the Orioles, I mean, one, I'm in agreement with you. It was much more enjoyable talking about a three-game winning streak that I don't think anyone with the proper mindset had any designs that everything was fixed. But you're certainly hoping that this team can play better for an extended stretch at some point in time. That doesn't mean it's going to save their season, but I think you also acknowledge something that we did touch upon, that look at the lineup. I mean, they had Chadwick Tromp at catcher. They had Jorge Mateo in center field, Dylan Carlson in left field, Heston Kjerstad in right field. And we saw that defense very much kill them in the top of the eighth inning when St. Louis went ahead and made the result all but complete. You have a team that had swung the bats a little bit better despite some of their health issues that they're still continuing to go through. Adley Rutschman not in concussion protocol, like not on the injured list, but they've given him a couple days just to be careful. And Cedric Mullins banged up a little bit. They went 1 for 14 with runners in scoring position. So,
One for 14 with runners in scoring position.
yeah. So, what was
And by
interesting
the
about
way, can I take a cheap shot? Because like I had crab. I mean, I was Johnny Raff left me with like nine crabs. I ate more crabs on Tuesday, and big crabs than I've. He ordered them. He didn't want to eat them. And then next thing you know, I'm eating them, and it's the seventh inning, and my wife's out of town, so I'm with my son. I'm with my daughter-in-law, and they're like, they don't watch the Orioles at all. Like they had never seen the squirt zone. I'm being serious. Like they watched that, and my daughter's like, that looks fun. It looks a little cold tonight. And I'm like, and they're like, no, we cut our cord 3 years ago. We don't know anything about the Orioles. My son Aparicio knows nothing about the Orioles until last night. So I'm being really honest with you. I'm shocked by it. It's not any. He's not being anti, or he's just like on to other things in his life. He's not on Facebook either, so he's a little different. But I got a cheap shot in, and no one was there to hear it, and my hands were messy. And I almost said, "Hey, dude, reach for my phone, tweet this out for me." Because when Mateo misplayed the ball out in center field, I wanted to say Brandon Hyde's not the manager anymore. You can't blame that on him. You know what I mean? So to the lineup point and to Mateo in center field, all the things that Brandon Hyde got fired for 10 days ago, and people were asking me at the pool in Vegas, like, what do you think? It's typical baseball scapegoating. It is what it is. You have to fire the manager, and that's the way the neophyte owner would feel about it. That's what the general manager is going to do to save his job. And meanwhile, the things that embarrass the manager to get him fired. What are you doing playing Mateo in center field, Hyde? I mean, that's the part of this for the people that are asleep, or when it was 3-0, or when it was 4-3, or when they pissed the lead away, or when I looked up and all of a sudden the game's out of hand and they can't win, that there is a point where, like, this isn't the team we were promised back in
No.
February. This is a mess. It really is on a night by night basis. And it takes all 9 innings to get to the mess. Shigano giving up a couple early. I'm like, don't let him be the guy. At least let him be the good pitcher. And every night they find it's like the anti-Oriole magic. Every night they find a different way to lose.
Yeah, well, it's like I said. I mean, this team hasn't exhibited any redeeming qualities. They don't do anything well. Like, there isn't one phase of the game where you say, okay, well, they're bad overall, but you could say that about a couple individuals. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn hits a 3-run homer, right? I mean, continues this year where I mean, he's batting 340. He's been terrific.
He might get Santander money. I don't
Probably
know.
not.
Yeah, positionally,
I
right?
and For one thing, it doesn't help that look at Santander in Toronto
I
in
got
year
you.
one. For as much as we've talked about Tyler O'Neill and how
I've had
disastrous
people in
that's
the last
been,
week make the case they should have kept Santander. I'm like,
like, have you
you're
seen his
not, yeah,
numbers?
you're not paying
Yeah.
attention. You're not watching.
Well,
Yeah.
and you never know, right? I mean, obviously environment and all that, but I want to go back to what you said for a moment about Sagano. I mean, this game did not start out well. I mean, St. Louis squared up a number of balls against him. I mean, what, that first inning, he gives up four hits and manages to only give up one run. And these were not bloops. They were hit hard. So the first couple innings, you're thinking, oh, is this going to be an early n exit for him?
Well, I'm shocked they played. Like, I watched it rained all afternoon. I had plans
Yeah.
with my friends and my family at Costas. I was meeting them at 6:30 for the game. Like, I've made the plans around the game, literally, with old friends of mine. We like baseball. Like, my old roommate, some of my dearest friends in the whole world, you know? And we made a plan to go to Costas and watch the game. And I got a little bit of a late start. It was raining. It rained the whole way over from Towson to Dundalk. And I walked in, and they were playing, and they were losing already because I walked in at like 6:45, and I'm like, I can't believe I was listening to I was actually listening to us on the radio. See, I like my new microphone; it sounds good. And I'm shocked they played, and it was like raining, and they were behind quickly, and there was nobody there, and I'm like, oh man, like how's this gonna go? And then it got like fun. People at the bar were cheering and O'Hearn and it kind of was a fun game until they pissed it away.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, Sagano was able to right the ship enough that he pitched into the sixth inning. I mean, it certainly wasn't his best start, but when you looked at how the first couple innings went, you're wondering if he was going to make it the second time through the order, and whether the game was going to be out of hand. So, when you're trailing 3-0 early like that, I mean, you don't know, but he stabilized enough. Like I said, Ryan O'Hearn hits the big 3-run homer in the fifth inning, and you're thinking, hey, this is looking okay. I mean, we'll see what happens with the bullpen. And it started out all right with the pen, but they pitched a lot. We know that. Not everyone in that bullpen has been effective. Guys have had their moments,
Well,
and
Baker reverted back to, back to 2023 Brian Baker, right?
But as we also pointed out, the defense didn't help him out either. And you mentioned, I mean, it was a rainy night. I can't say I was shocked that they played, mainly because, one, you look at Wednesday's
Yeah,
forecast,
they're not going to wind up playing on Wednesday, right?
and even though they have a mutual off day on Thursday, you're always, I mean, this team's already played a few double headers. You're trying to avoid that. So I think the key was they got enough of a window that the grounds crew was able to get the field ready, and then they got started. It never poured. I mean, it was a light to, at times, maybe semi-moderate rain. But for the most part, it was a lighter rain and they just played through. But that makes for difficult conditions. And then when you talk about Jorge Mateo in center, it's not a center fielder. Heston Kjerstad, who you could probably put up with his defense if he were hitting, like if he was a power hitting corner outfielder in the vein of,
Anthony Santander.
someone like him, or even someone worse, like you think of like the likes of Albert Bell and guys like that, hey, they're not going to play well defensively, but you'll take their bat. Problem is, Kjerstad's hitting under 200. So, but I mean, Baker gives up the home run. Those two plays. I mean, the ball in right center. I mean, I thought Kerstad or Mateo could have caught it. Then the one in center field, yeah, that was a tough play, but
Yeah, I'm not
Mateo just
saying
didn't look like a center fielder,
that
right?
that is an
Sure.
organizational issue that when Mateo's out there and the ball goes over his head, for what I mean,
Yeah.
it would have been a great play. Al Bunbury would have made that play. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like Devereaux would have made that play.
Mullins, a
Right. I
healthy
mean,
Mullins
yeah,
makes that
like
play, probably.
just like but that being said, he's not a center fielder and they
Yeah.
haven't played center field,
Yeah.
and that's not Brandon Hyde's fault. And I
Sure.
remember that night. The idiots in the fan base that want to blame the manager or this or that. Like, I the square blame on this needs to be on ownership, because ownership is ownership, and ownership is new, and ownership is out in front of this, except when they're in last place, which tells me all I need to know about Mr. Rubenstein.
Sure.
Like, I am heartbroken that a putz has bought the team and has surrounded himself with whatever I have been subjected to over the last 14 months. I am just in my private moments, Luke. I am having real problems with whatever this is and wherever this is going, and whatever my role, your role, our role is in coming here every effing day and bitching about it. Because I did that for 30 years, and it wore me out, man. And it's wearing me out again this early in to think that we're waiting on Justin Tucker news out of Owings Mills in the rain, and 4 months we're going to wait for football. And yeah, September 7th, Buffalo, September 7th. Dude, it's May. It's still May. Like, we're supposed to have a baseball season here. Where's Cal Ripken in front of this? Where's Rubenstein? Where are all of them? Kurt Schmoke, all of them. They were in front of it last year. Now the team's in last place. Mateo's out in the rain, misplaying balls. Their right fielder stinks. They're power hitting first, but their next Dave Kingman can't even get here to get at bats. I mean, they're throwing 41-year-old pitchers out, and they're 20 games under 500. I mean, Peter Angelos wouldn't be proud of this. I mean, like I that's where I am. I'm fed up, and I'm grossly annoyed sitting at Costas with my family, watching the remnants of what was left of what used to be great as we bury Jim Henneman on Thursday. I got Rick Vaughn on, I got Charles Steinberg on. All the old timers are coming on and finding this mess again. And the new owner, who hasn't even shown up on the scene to respond to it. And the general manager hiding to
I was going to
Milwaukee,
say, I mean,
like it
I
just
think
all
you're,
of this stinks, and
I think
I
you're
want
letting
to
Mike
say
Elias
that.
off the hook a little bit in your wording of talk. I mean, look, it's obviously ownership. We're going to see what this is going to look like here in the coming weeks and months and years.
I'm getting pissed off. I mean, my buddy's
No, I
like, I
hear
gave the
you.
Birdland people $2,000 to go down there, and every time I try to use the tickets are like expensive. There's no
Yeah.
discount. Once you give them the money, the tickets are $28 to sit on the roof when the Cardinals are in town in the rain on a Tuesday night, and it's bad business. Katie, not shaking my hands, bad business as well, but I'm a bad guy. Their broadcasts are terrible. It's just it Dude, it's not even June, and I'm just very, very frustrated, and I want everybody to know it. I want to, I, because I've been nice. You've been the prick around here lately. Baseball, baseball, baseball. We need to win games. We need to hit better. We need to have better pitchers. We need to spend more money. All of that. How about just show up? How about show up? That's all. All of you. All of you. All of you who I don't know, who are too good to meet with me, it's just gross. I just want to say that as they mire in last place after Memorial Day and watching them botch games, and no one cares anymore. Like, people are starting to really tune out because they're pissed off like I am. I'd rather talk about anything else. I mean, we have a felon running the country. I have other things to do. I by the way, I ran into our congressman on Tuesday night as well, and he's frustrated as well. But so there's other things going on, and this baseball team, as a daily concern for you and me to get together every day and do half an hour, whatever they're doing over at the Fan, whatever hot air they're blowing over at 98 Rock and BAL. Nobody had a plan for this.
No.
Nobody had a plan for this. And I haven't been mad yet, and I'm pissed. I'm pissed. 20 years after doing Free the Birds, this is the best they can do. It's gross. That's
Well,
all.
I will continue to say you're not burying Mike Elias nearly enough because he's been running the show. Now, I agree with all your points about ownership, but
I haven't
ownership,
emailed him lately.
but ownership also, thought they were inheriting something that at least from a baseball standpoint was in good shape, and apparently not.
Well, get out
Now
in
I'll
front of
say
it for your
this,
customers. That's all.
and I'll say this. I
Don't give me
mean,
more Latino nights where I'm banned. I mean, seriously.
I'll say this. Tuesday night's game, individually speaking, you look at the lineup, this team is still very much trying to point itself in the right direction health-wise. Jordan Westberg and Colton Cowser were supposed to play at Norfolk on Tuesday night. It was rained out. As I mentioned, Adley Rutschman, who is not on the concussion list as of now, it looks like he's going to avoid that, but they've tried to give him a couple days. Cedric Mullins, they're very vague about it. Tony Mancelino won't say what it is, just like Brandon Hyde won't. It's becoming more NFL-like, but Cedric Mullins is banged up. He's missed three of the last four games. So that's also in addition to, like I mentioned, Kowser, Westberg, Ramon Laureano, Tyler O'Neill, Gary Sanchez. Go down the list. I mean, as far as their position player talent, the 14, the 13 guys that they were supposed to have on their 26-man roster in terms of position players, half those guys are on the shelf right now. And the ones who are healthy, other than Ryan O'Hearn, aren't really playing all that well. And Jackson Holliday, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least give Holliday a nod that he's the one young guy they have where the arrow's trending upward. If you looked at it through that lens and didn't take into account everything else, you'd look at this as one of those games where you say, if they were 500, let's say, if things hadn't completely fallen apart, and we talked about if they had been able to tread water over the first 2 months, a loss like Tuesday's, you'd say it stinks, but you kind of understand it, right? You see, you have a couple guys out of position, you've got a short bench, yada, yada, yada. But they're not in any kind of a position where you can afford to drop games that are winnable games. I mean, that's how they got into this position. Yeah, they've had their games where they've been blown out, but they've also lost close games. They've also, completely given away some games where they had a chance to win. And it's incredibly frustrating, but it's where they are right now. And your point about people tuning out the product, I mean, I can't blame anyone. I'm not going to sit here just because I'm paid to cover baseball to sit here and try to sell you on this team. It stinks. I do think it's going to get better in the sense that you're going to get some of those guys back and the roster is going to look better on paper. Hence, I would expect it's going to be better than it's been. That doesn't mean saving the season. That doesn't mean it's going to be good. And from that standpoint, you're kind of back into the rebuild mindset in terms of how you view it through the lens of, okay, can you get these guys back on track? Can Gunnar Henderson look like Gunnar Henderson the rest of the year? Can Adley Rutschman look like Adley Rutschman for the first time in a year? You go down the list. Westberg needs to stay healthy. Cowser needs to stay healthy. Holliday needs to continue to do what he's doing. You're hoping Kobe Mayo is going to get back here at some point and get an opportunity and actually take advantage of it. Heston Kerstad has been so bad the last few weeks where the
He's not a
concern
major
is,
league player, dude. I mean,
I mean,
let's call that what it
he's
is.
not right now. I mean, let's not,
Not right now. Not
right.
right
That
now. I'm
that's the
talking
key.
about right
That's the
now.
key. That's the key. And look, we don't
And
know.
they're going to have a lot of that. Now, Jorge Mateo is not a major league center fielder, but he
I mean,
played
Jorge
last night.
Mateo,
Like,
I mean,
they're continuing on.
there's a perfect, I want to stop you just for a second. There's a perfect example of legitimate beefs with Mike Elias. Why is Jorge Mateo still on this roster? And if I hear someone say, well, they needed him to play center field. Bull. Go get an actual someone who can actually play center field, because this isn't a case where you're fitting a square peg into a round hole from an idea of, like I said, talking about the Kerstad example. It's one thing to put someone in the outfield because you're just trying to get their bat in the order. Ryan O'Hearn's a great example of that. We saw Ryan O'Hearn playing left field at Fenway Park. We see him play right field more and more frequently here over the last few weeks. It's not because he's a good right fielder. He'd be the first to tell you he's not. The reason why is you really want his bat in the order, and he can play it just well enough, or maybe it's not horrendously terrible where you can put up with it because he's going to contribute with the bat. In the case of Jorge Mateo, you're putting him out in center field and he can't hit. And okay, if he does get on base, and he
They need
did
him
get
as
a
a pinch
hit.
runner in October.
I mean,
I
my
mean,
goodness.
that was sort of the argument. The argument was, well, you'll need him in August and September to pinch run in a tight
Well,
game.
and well, the argument previously was you do need a backup shortstop, but you've got Jackson Holliday on this roster now if Gunnar Henderson needs a day. I mean, like, what are we doing here? And maybe right now on March 27th and 28th, or May 27th and 28th, but because their roster is shorthanded, even their active roster is shorthanded, I'm not saying today is the day, but what are we doing here? I mean, it's been 2 years now where we've talked about what is he bringing to the table, yet Mike Elias insists on holding on to guys like Jorge Mateo. And, he talks about wanting so much veteran depth. The problem is it's such middling, underwhelming depth that it zaps your upside. And then in turn, you have these issues over the last few years where you've had young guys ready to come up and play, and there's not a path for them to establish themselves. So then you end up having a scenario like a Kyle Stowers, who only got sporadic playing time the last couple of years until the Orioles finally trade him after his trade value was depleted. And let me be clear. I mean, Kyle Stowers was never a blue chip prospect. I want to be clear about that. I don't think he was ever going to be a guy that was going to get them a number two starter in a trade, for example. So let's be real about what Kyle Stowers was.
Well, he's probably
But
the seventh prospect in the whole list of Mayo, Kerstad,
oh, sure. I
Kauser,
mean,
Westberg.
he wasn't a first round pick,
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the point is, there was never a runway for him to establish himself unless he just raked at an unbelievable level where he forced the issue so much. So then you kind of draw a conclusion about him. You think he's a quad A player, and I thought he was a quad A player. I'm not going to sit here and beat up Mike Elias too much from the standpoint of, oh my gosh, you traded Kyle Stowers. The problem was, oh my gosh, all you got back for him and Norby was Trevor Rogers. And Saturday start at Fenway, notwithstanding, that's the real beef. But you do have to learn from what happens. And when you see Stowers now being what he's been in Miami, and look, it remains to be seen whether this is who he is moving forward, right? I mean, there are also guys who have a great month or two. Jim Traber comes to mind way back when, once upon a time.
Ryan Aaron's having a great month.
Yeah, I mean, so there's always acknowledging that, but my point is, Elias has held on to so many of these middling veterans that you're not really, you kind of zap your upside, you block some of these younger guys. I mean, if you're going to rely on a veteran, you know what? Go out and get a legit, seriously good veteran ball player that there's no questions asked, and you say, all right, that guy is the guy. But instead, the last few years, think about some of the guys we've talked about. The Adam Frazier's of this roster at times, where Jordan Westberg played sporadically then for the better part of 3 months, even though Adam Frazier wasn't performing. Jorge Mateo hasn't performed in
He
two
brought the
years.
outfielder in from the Yankees 2 years ago.
That was actually one that worked out okay. And that's kind of the exception. But I think in efforts of chasing that, you've at times,
Well,
I think you've zapped some of
Laureano,
the
right,
upside. Yeah.
was a stab at that, right?
Yeah. I mean, and look, let me be clear. This isn't me saying don't have any veterans. This is me saying that if you are going to get some veterans, then really dive into doing it. Not these middling players that are playing over young guys, not really performing. And then the young guys are playing more sporadically. And then because they're young and they're not getting the runway to really play, that kind of hurts their development a little bit. I mean, it's just, I've said this to you, this goes all the way back to, I remember vividly talking to you about the offseason going into 2022, Jordan Lyles. And that was, Jordan Lyles, Rougned Odor, Robinson Chirinos. I mean, that was their offseason at that point in time. And let me be clear, I'm not saying that I was anticipating that 2022 team being great or a playoff caliber team or anything like that. But what I was anticipating that year was Adley Rutschman arriving at that point sooner rather than later. And my thought was, why aren't you trying to build up this roster a little bit more now at this point, where when Adley Rutschman arrives this year and Gunnar Henderson arrives later this year, you can hit the ground running a little bit more and you've got a little more veteran capability around them. So that for
He
me.
believes so much in those young players, and it was always going to be Colton Cowser can do that, Westberg can do that, Jackson Holiday will do that, right?
But they didn't
And
all arrive at the same time. And my point with that is, instead you got these really like middling, mediocre veterans for lack of a
you're
better way of
talking
describing it.
Urias, Mateo, who will Austin
Well,
Hayes?
I just named some of the guys that I
Yeah,
didn't. I
right.
mean, not Austin Hayes. I'm talking about like what their off seasons were. And I'm mentioning this because this is kind of talking about my frustration with Mike Elias in when it was clear they were at kind of on the cusp of turning the corner. Like they didn't flip the switch on
But
really.
they won 101 games 2 years ago,
They
so I don't know
did.
they did anything wrong in 23.
They didn't have enough pitching.
Well, okay.
I mean,
But they also had John Angelos owning the team,
sure.
running around in
And
champagne baths,
understood.
and they were benching their
Understood.
friggin'
However,
broadcaster in the middle of the season. Like,
totally
it's
understand that.
just,
But I would
yeah.
also say, but this goes, now we can fast forward to this past offseason. They spent money.
Oh,
They
there's
spent
no
money.
question.
The question, now they didn't spend it long term, and honestly, thank goodness, because
Right,
if
they
they
have
gave out a
nothing on the
couple,
books next year, right?
I mean,
Nothing.
Tyler O'Neill's going to be the only, as far as like true veteran players that are locked in, because he's obviously not going to opt out now after year one. So you're going to be stuck with him for 2 more years, and you hope that he can find a way to be more like the guy he was in Boston last year. I mean, if he could do that, even if he's still going to be on the
There's a guy
IL,
that's been a real zero, right?
well, he's, of
Like
course. I mean, he's been awful. I mean, he hasn't
that,
been healthy at all.
you don't even think, you think, well, they didn't give Santander the money. Well, they gave this guy a third of it, half of it, you know? Like, what, like,
The
yeah.
issue was not parting with Anthony Santander. The issue was the contingency plan. The issue was the pivot. Santander has been a massive disappointment in Toronto. And look, he's I'll hear everything about him being a slow starter and all that. I mean, that is valid. And maybe in August his numbers will look like Santander, and then it'll look even worse for the Orioles. But the problem is who they pivoted to. And this again goes back to my point with the veterans that Mike Elias picks. They end up being these cheaper, middling guys that don't move the needle, and all they kind of do is just take up space, and then in turn it clogs the lanes for your young guys. So you just, I've said so many times to you at where I've felt that the Orioles over the last 3, 4 years, despite how good they were the second half of 22, despite how good they were in 23, despite how good they were the first 3 months last year, that I felt from a roster building standpoint, they've been caught in between too much. And let me be fair to Mike Elias. You mentioned the John Angelos element. Totally agree with that. That was absolutely a factor. But I will also say it can be challenging trying to thread the needle of winning baseball games while also wanting to hand the reins over to some of your young guys that you have belief in. But the problem is, if you don't do that properly, you just get stuck in between. And I think,
Almost all of those guys failed a little bit. Westberg may be the exception. Like, all
I mean,
those
it's too
guys
early to say.
really, no, but they all struggled
Oh,
coming, you
sure.
know, when they came up, right? I mean,
Yeah. I mean,
Henderson had
Rutschman stunk
doing
for a
it under
month.
the cloak of we're going to lose, we're not going to be a playoff
Yeah.
team's different. I think all that changed 2 years ago, like
Yeah.
this month,
Well,
when
and
you're like, okay, we can win 100 games this year. We're good. How do we get better? And to your point, they've not figured that out, and the young guys, all of them in totality, Henderson
regressed.
included, I'll throw him in for the 6 weeks that he's
Regressed.
been, have not stepped
Henderson's been
up in a
okay.
way that for the
That's
Houston
it.
Astros, they didn't have that problem when the light went on. Their best players performed in that era. And for that Elias and Mydell to say, well, in Houston, we had the symphony come together and Verlander and money and all of that happened at the same time. But their five young players all blossomed and played. Right now, we have what? Rutschman, turd at this point. Hurt, turd. Henderson, figuring it out, right?
I mean, he.
O'Hearn is a
Let me.
found
Henderson.
entity, right? But Cowser, Westberg,
Hurt, hurt.
Mayo, Kerstad,
Not
just go down
performing,
the
not
list.
performing.
Stowers, none of these guys have participated in Baltimore the way that in 2022 or 23 you would have looked it up. And Holiday is, we're not talking enough about him because the friggin' team's in last place,
He's been good. He's been good.
but he's coming. He's
Yeah,
coming, right?
he's been good. And again, I think with Gunnar Henderson, he hasn't been that MVP candidate that he was in the first half of last year. But if you still look at what he does, it's still a good profile. It's still a valuable profile. It just hasn't been what it was first half of last year. And it might be that maybe as time goes on, that's more the outlier. And he's more like this now. The strikeout rate's up. He struggled against left-handed pitching. There's no question. Who hasn't struggled against left-handed pitching for this club? We know that, and that's part of the problem. One of the many problems on
Well, if
this ball
Gunnar
club.
Henderson turns into a platoon player, we got a real problem.
Well, I mean that, but that's kind of been the problem. They have a lineup of guys like that where they're, I mean, they've struggled against lefties. I mean. Ryan O'Hearn's supposed to be a platoon player. Now, he's played so well that he's earned himself the right to not be pinch hit for every time a left-handed reliever comes in the game, especially if it's like the sixth inning, knowing that, okay, even if he's going up against a lefty, there's a decent chance he's going to play face a righty
Well,
later in the
Mullins had
game.
played himself into a fourth or fifth outfielder position, but now feels a little more balanced.
It has been, but he's been bad in the month of May and now he's banged up. So, it's just.
Banged up Mullins is never a good Mullins,
No,
right? That's
and
always been.
that's why they're trying to do what they're doing right now. That's why we've seen Jorge Mateo in center field. Now, I'll say this: Dylan Carlson actually is a legitimate major league center fielder. I'm not saying he's Devon White. I'm not saying he's Ken Griffey Jr. in center field, but he's a guy that's played there and played there plenty. I don't really understand the merits of Mateo in center and Carlson in left. I'm guessing it has something to do with you're giving Mateo more of the look of a middle infielder that he can see the ball off the bat better in center field and try to, he can track it better than a corner spot where, guy turns on it and it's coming right at you, so to speak. So I guess it has something to do with that. But I mean, this is just, it's
Bad.
miserable. It's miserable. And I'm not trying to say that to be hot takey. It's miserable. I mean,
I lost my mind 20 minutes
we
ago,
talked
and
about
it may
right.
happen a few more times this summer, but
Well, I mean, we'll be
just
talking, but as time's
they're
going
going to be a
on,
last place baseball team for the next 4 months.
I mean, probably. I mean, the only thing I would say that maybe that changes, and look, I don't mean second place. Let's be very clear about that. But the rest of the AL East, other than the Yankees, I mean, Tampa Bay's 500. The Blue Jays are a couple games under. The Red Sox are very much in a tailspin. It's funny. The Red Sox played the Orioles, and it's like some of the Orioles wore off on them. But
There's hideous jerseys I talked about
the
with
only
Rainham.
saving grace that I would say that maybe they climb out of the cellar at some point is that they are going to get healthier and they should be better in theory because they'll be much healthier as the year goes on, assuming they don't have new injuries, which obviously that's a possibility. But yeah, in terms of being relevant, in terms of being all that interesting, I think we're still we're still kind of talking about what we did before Brandon Hyde was let go, right? In the sense of, is anything else going to happen with the coaching staff? Are they going to look to hire a manager? I mean, still waiting to hear Mike Elias take questions at Camden Yards, right? He talked to Milwaukee a week ago, but radio silence since then because we're still looking for some clarity on this roster. I mean, again, right now, when you basically had a bench of Emmanuel Rivera and Maverick Hanley on Tuesday night, not so much. But once a few of these guys are coming back, which, a week from now, we could be talking about Westberg and Couser back in the Orioles lineup. What corresponding moves are we going to see? Because I said it, and I cited C&L Perez over the weekend being DFA'd. You've already thrown Brandon Hyde out of the place, right? You've already said, okay, you're the first guy that's really taken the
Kyle
fall
Gibson,
here.
throw him out.
Sure. And Kyle Gibson, you're right. Thanks for reminding me of that. But
Well, he was $5 million.
yeah, on four starts. But my thought is, where are the other changes coming, right? I mean, at some point in time, you've got to look at this, especially with these veteran players. And some of it's going to be the trade deadline. We know that. But like, again, I hate, I'm not trying to pick on them, but I've talked about it for the better part of 2 years. I mean, Once Cowser's back and once Laureano's back, and they both should be back here really soon, and once Westberg's back, which should be soon, hoping he doesn't have another setback with the hamstring. But you look at this and say, why is Jorge Mateo on this roster at this point? I mean, what purpose is he serving? Like you mentioned it. Okay, 2 years ago, even though I thought it was flimsy then, you could at least sell me on the idea that he's an attractive pinch runner for a potential postseason roster. I mean, okay, I'll hear that to a point. I don't agree with that, but you can't sell that
I'm straight to the
now.
bottom of the barrel here with a team
Yeah,
in last
I mean,
place here. I'm reaching.
and let me be clear, their problems run much deeper, deeper, deeper than Jorge Mateo, and I'm not trying to pick on him as an individual, but
Well, I'm sorry I pulled the
there's
scab
too
off
much.
of that because I was knee deep in cracking crabs and I couldn't
I mean,
tweet
the
out
outfield
anything
defense
snarky.
was.
But I watching
That was
that play, I'm
terrible.
like,
That was terrible.
can't blame Brandon Hyde on that. And people
No.
lost their mind on Brandon Hyde a month ago
Well,
about that. And
I will continue to say, and you know how I felt about the Brandon Hyde thing. I think a change had to be made, but my beefs about Brandon Hyde did not have to do with that. Did not have to do with who's hitting where in the lineup. I mean, the problem is you don't have nine good hitters to even have good debate about where they should be slotted in the order. And I've said that as someone who's wondered why Adley Rutschman continues to hit in the top four spots, going back to last summer. But for me, it was the energy level, the sloppiness, not throwing the ball to the right base, things like that, that we saw right out of spring training, things that we saw more of the second half of last year, where I said, even if you like the manager, even if you respect the manager, which I think by all accounts, this team still respected and liked Brandon Hyde. But you know what? They didn't really play like it. And when that happens, even if you love your manager or your head coach, he's going to be gone sooner than later. And the axe fell. But what we're seeing in the wake of that is Tony Mansellino, who, look, nice enough guy. I think he's trying his best. But you hear the comments he makes. I mean, he's trying to be overly positive and, it reminds you of a junior varsity high school team more so
Really
than.
is. It's
And
not.
to be clear on that, in fairness to him,
None
because he.
of this feels like leadership to me.
No,
None of
but
this.
I would say maybe things are a little bit different behind closed doors, and he's trying to protect the players publicly, understanding that the fangs are out for fans and media and all that just because of how bad it is, right? I mean, everyone's pissed. For lack of a better way of describing it, everyone's ticked off. So maybe it's different behind closed doors, but if how he's speaking about the team to the media is how he's talking about it behind closed doors to them, then man, maybe these guys are coddled too much. And I'll leave it at
Get
that.
paid a lot of money
I
to
mean, they're
come do
pros,
this.
and these guys
You're
have all played
professional.
baseball for a long
People
time.
are
It's
paying a
not like,
lot of money to come watch it, and that's not
yeah,
lost on anybody. It shouldn't
sure.
be. It's not
So
lost
when you
on me.
hear that, I mean,
Every time I reach to go to SeatGeek to think about going down there, I add the math up and I'm like, nah.
I mean, let me. I'll just give you an example because I point blank asked him in the post game press conference on Tuesday night about the Orioles being 1 for 14 with runners in scoring position. And look, they gave up 7 runs. This is not me putting it all on the offense by any means, but they were 1 for 14 with runners in scoring position. You had a chance easily with a couple hits there to turn 4 runs into 6, 7, 8 runs, and maybe you even survive the struggles of the bullpen late in the game. But I asked him about it. I said, was it disappointing that you didn't take advantage of some of those opportunities? His answer was, as I watched the at-bats, it felt competitive. It felt good. It felt like we were in it. A couple big hits here or there, and it might have been a different story, but I appreciate the effort and the battle.
That's
That's not
lousy.
inspiring people. And again, he's in a role that he wasn't intended to be in, right? When he was hired to become their third base coach, I don't think there was ever a thought over the last five until the last month or
It
so.
looks reluctant. It doesn't look like, hey, give me the job. I've been waiting all my life to be a manager. We're going to go win some ball games here. Let's go. We're
And
going to go
this
win.
is
It
why
doesn't feel that way to me
it
at
doesn't at
all.
all. It doesn't at all. And this is why I look at this, and this is why I want to ask Brandon Hyde this and other people, not me, everyone wants to ask this at this point. Are you really just going to sit back and let this team, as it's presently constructed, just exist for the next 4 months and with an interim manager who, to your point, again, maybe behind Maybe behind closed doors, he is peeling the paint off the wall, so to speak, but it doesn't feel that way. And it certainly isn't coming across that way in how he speaks to the media. So you look at that and say, man, 4 months is a really long time. And if you're going to have that, then I don't feel encouraged about this team's ability to, one, play better over the course of the rest of the season, and two, be at a point come September where you say, all right, you're not in the playoffs, but you've at least climbed back to the fact that you're within a couple games of 500 or something like that. And we can build on that to go into the offseason, knowing the general manager who, if he is still the general manager, is going to have a fire under his, you know what, to go out and make some really serious moves to make your team better. And then this thing's pointed in the right direction. And then we're having a different conversation about what 2026 can look like. But if this just rots, continues to just die on the vine, the way that it kind of feels how it's been for 2 months now, then I think then you start to really get into territory where it's difficult to climb out of this. You know, it's the old losing is a disease, you know, from the natural, where you look at that and say, man, what? So they're just going to flip a switch? You know,
I'm
you're going to.
waiting for the pile divers to show up here.
Sure.
You know, the
No
body
question.
language of Rutschman 2 years, 3 years after this, the way he speaks after this. I need more Ryan O'Hearn. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? I need
Well,
more of that.
and look, it's not as though guys aren't. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, you know, he grounded out and you saw him throw his helmet, you know, to end an inning on Tuesday night. I mean, guys are frustrated. I don't think it's a case that they don't care. I think they are so lost mentally at this point in time and so beat up mentally. I mean, all you got to do is look at the standings and see how many games you have left. I mean, it's not tough to be discouraged. Look how discouraged we are just talking about it, let alone these guys that are in it. I'm cognizant of that, but is the leadership in place to get that reversed and moving in the right direction again? And we're not talking about saving the season here. They're not saving the season. We're talking about making things better, just getting better, getting to the point where you're playing better baseball. How about try to shoot to have a month where you play 500 ball for a month? Forget about winning and going 20 and 10. How about going 15 and 15 or 14 and 14 in June, right? I mean, something like that. That would be something to build on at this point. But do you have the leadership in place? Do you have enough pitching in place? And that's obviously the question we had going back to the winter. But, you know, you just look at this, and again, I'm trying not to judge Tony Mancelino too harshly because, again, he didn't sign up for this. He wasn't hired to do this, right? But this is where you are, and that's why I said, if you're Mike Elias, is this really a structure that's going to cultivate improvement over the next 3 or 4 months, or is this going to be a 100-plus loss baseball team? And if it is, then, man,
Or are you doing things that should get you fired and the guy that owns the team doesn't know his arm from his ass
oh.
to even fire you? Or
And
care enough or
that'll be
know enough or have any expertise or surrounded by people like Chris Yuelman and Katie Griggs and Greg Bader that are making executive decisions all around and the stadium's empty. It's pissing from the sky. The team's in last place. Everything about it's awful. And it's May.
yeah.
And people have money invested in this and they want to come down and see something other than Latin night where the Latin journalist is banned, or there's UMBC night, there's mom and dad night, and there's Star Wars. How about baseball night? How about that? How about we win? How about you make the team important again?
You
And
can only give away so many bobbleheads. I mean, you know,
of
those nights,
yourself.
Orioles high Hawaiian night shirt, you know, or Hawaiian shirt night. You know, they'll
I
draw a
see
good
all these
crowd for that. But
promotions. They're doing, you know, they do everything.
they should be doing all that. But it also,
The bananas. You know what the big thing on my
see, I'm gonna
timeline
push.
Tuesday
I'm
was?
gonna push back. See,
The
you're not getting that.
bananas
That's
up
the
and
Harlem
down my
Globetrotters.
Facebook. Everybody's in line to get tickets for the bananas
Yeah.
and they won the lottery
They're
and it's.
popular around the country. I mean, it's a thing. It's the Harlem Globetrotters for baseball. I mean, it really is.
Well, that's more popular than going to an Oriole
Oh,
Cardinal game. Then that's a
yeah.
that
Well,
is really.
when you're talking about a last place team, yeah. You know, I mean, It's bad.
That speaks for
It's really
itself.
bad.
Luke, they'll lose again this weekend, and we'll have more to talk about. Luke's at the ballpark. Actually, he's out in Owings Mills running around asking Justin Tucker questions that no one's
Football.
going to answer. No?
Fake football.
Fake football.
Football in
Yeah.
shorts. Football in shorts. Here we go.
In cold weather. Where is summer in
I
all of this?
know, man.
White
I
Sox
was
in town
bundled
this
up the other
weekend.
night. I was bundled up on Tuesday night. I was cold.
My wife's in Florida. It's 94 every
You have
day.
the
I
heat
mean,
on, don't you?
get the heat on. Yeah. It's
I
like,
figured you would.
dude, it's 42 degrees around here, which, what the hell? All right. So Luke's at the ballpark. We're going to be at Greenmount Station on the 5th, which is next Thursday. The 13th, we're back at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'm sorry I'm in a bad mood, but the baseball team's been a disgrace, and I'm not afraid of talking about it. So we're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.